You're listening to the Jason Greger Show, presented by PlayAlberta.ca. Right now, use promo code SPORTS20. That's promo code SPORTS20 to get a free $20 bet at PlayAlberta.ca. Matt, how you doing?
I'm doing fantastic. I also have had experience with a wet basement, so I can concur that that is not
worst,
something that any
it?
Of us want. It is the worst, especially when it's at 2:30 in the morning. So, yeah, it's the worst.
The shot back, and you're just like, oh, my goodness. Yeah, it's... I've had to tear out a few carpets because they just get too wet. So it's never ideal. So that's just another one of seeing how you deal with stuff. Because life, like in sports, how you deal with it can be a big one. Now it's the off season for most athletes right now, and you know, off season incorporating mental skills. Nick, I know you worked with professional athletes, you worked with amateur athletes. How important is the mental skill? And how much is too much? Like, when is it the right time to incorporate it rather than just try to, you know, maybe put too much on young athletes?
Yeah, that's a fantastic question. Because I think it's one of these things where the off season is probably one of the best times to add in mental skills, because generally there's a little bit more time to do things, right? We're not so busy with tournaments. We're not so busy with you know, practices. And so there is just more time to do it. And so and mental skills, you know, regardless of time of season, is always an important thing to incorporate into a training plan. But 100%, there can be times that's overwhelming. And a lot of, you know, if we look at, depending on who you talk to, there's anywhere, you know, sort of like from 10 to about a dozen sort of foundational mental skills. And so if someone tries to work on all 12 of those during an off season, or all 12 of those at one time, it's just like trying to do too much in training. It's just not going to work. So generally when I'm working with athletes, we'll tell them, you know, when you sort of reflect on the past season, and that's one of the really important parts, you have to reflect and see, like, where were some of the gaps in my performance? Where were some of the weaknesses from a mental perspective? And then pick your top two or three that you want to work on, and then develop a plan from there. Because if you can work on those top two or three, chances are you're going to impact a little bit of the rest of your game anyways. You know, it's sort of the same thing, like, you can't fix everything if you want to be stronger, faster, more agile, you know, you want to have all these physical capabilities. Well, you can't work on all of those things and really have a huge impact. You need to sort of pick and choose where you're going to put your energy. And mental skills is no different. So for most athletes, it's going to be about two or three that you're going to focus on. And really, when I work with athletes, like, you know, I love working on mental skills, but I'm going to be honest. It's not always the most exciting thing to work on for athletes. Like, goal setting is not, you're not a goal setting nerd like me. It's not always that exciting to do. So if anything's taking longer than about 15 minutes, you know, in a training session, I think that's a little bit too long for athletes to be spending time. You want to keep short, simple, and really focused and on about two or three things throughout that season, or off season rather.
Yeah, and that was my next question, right? Like, you can't change everything. Pro athletes, you know, they'll say, "Hey, I want to improve one element." Now, and these are pros, so I shouldn't even make the comparison to pros, because, you know, their game is much more of a finished product. So when you come just on mental skills, like, what's a basic mental skill for somebody? Because we got text, you know what, my daughter is now 15. She's coming to that elite level athlete stage. She's never done any mental skills training. What's like step one, Nick?
Yeah, I think... So goal setting is a really big, important part. And it can be a little bit boring, but goal setting is really important. But if we look at once they get that sort of basic goal of what the athlete wants to achieve, I think visualization, I'm a big believer in visualization. My athletes always have a lot of success with. I think visualization at any age, even from athletes as young as, you know, 11, 12 years old, all the way up to professionals, visualization is one of the most powerful, most effective skills for athletes to incorporate, because it's so versatile. We can use it to help us improve our skills. We can use visualization to help us get stronger. We can use visualizations to help us become more confident. So through a single skill, mental skill of visualization, we can impact the entire player. And when we start to have those impacts happening, well, now we see improvements in confidence. We see improvements in resiliency. We have all these, you know, secondary impacts that are a result of that visualization. So I'm a big believer in visualization. If you only have time to do one thing this off season, put that energy into visualization.
So what's an example of visualization, Nick? Is it me sitting down, I close my eyes, and I visualize what?
Yeah, so it'll depend on what that athlete wants to accomplish. So it could be as simple as visualizing your workout that you're going to be doing. And so athletes who do that, they tend to have faster strength gains than athletes who don't. If it's someone who wants to work on, you know, you've talked many times with different athletes, you know, adjusting the sticks and getting their skills, you know, that puck control or stick handling improved. Well, if they're going to sit down and visualize the visualization of the stick handling, they're going to have improvements in there. So it's going to really depend upon what area they want to improve on. They might, if they want to be more confident, well, they're going to visualize situations where they want to be more confident. So that's what's so great, is that as long as we have those goals and that reflect on where were some of those gaps in the season, you can use visualization to have an impact on all of it.
Now that's, so I'm curious about the, because I know you've studied lots of this. So how come if I sit down, because, and I've just got this new training that I'm doing, Driven Life Performance, is this new app that I have, and I quite like it, right? It's quite challenging and stuff. So I should sit down for 5 minutes before and visualize, okay, I'm doing the squats, then I'm going to visualize myself doing the bent over rows, and am I visualizing myself like lifting it properly, or am I visualizing like I want to lift a 50-pound weight today, let's say, for bent over rows? Is that what I'm visualizing?
Fantastic question. So now, in a perfect scenario, yes, we should be visualizing before we do the actual activity. But if we're looking to try and be as efficient and maximize our time, you know, when you're having a bit of that rest in between, or you know, you're taking a bit of rest, getting some water, whatever it might be, that's a great time to use some of those visualizations. You mentioned, you know, doing it with your eyes closed. In the beginning, you know, most people have to visualize with their eyes closed because they just don't have the vividness of that visualization, that imagery isn't strong enough yet. It's not clear enough yet. But once they get good at it, even if they're in a gym, they can all keep their eyes open and they can visualize that activity. And so, yeah, if they're looking for those strength gains, they're going to visualize, you know, pulling through that sticking spot on the movement. If they are having more troubles with the technique and that's what's sort of limiting some of their progress, then they're going to focus on the actual technique. So, you know, knowing what to focus on, that's where maybe, you know, you meet with someone like myself, like a psychologist, and figure out, okay, what are some of the areas we could really zero in on? But it's wide open. It could be on, you know, lifting a heavier weight. It could be on just seeing yourself, you know, dropping the weight to the end and being confident that you just did your 10 reps and you did a personal best. It might be, you know, visualizing the techniques. You get that. If you clean and snatch, you know, for some of those people who are doing the powerlifting, they've seen that snap of the wrist or the lifting of the arms, that technique, that's what's going to help them move forward. And so, and I mean, that's where they're having troubles. So it's really about just zeroing in where is the challenge is happening and how can, you know, again, visualization is not going to replace actually lifting weights. Visualization is not going to replace, you know, a technical coach or working on technique, but it's going to augment and add and magnify the improvements of working on that training. So it really just depends on, again, like I said, I feel like I'm a bit of a broken record, but it depends on where the athlete wants to have that improvement. That's why that reflection, that goal thing is so important. But the visualization, you can do it for anything. We can focus on anything you want to with visualization, and it doesn't take any extra time because you're doing it during those rest breaks. You're doing it, you can even do it laying in bed. I mean, the closer you do it to the actual activity is better, but as long as you're doing it, you're, like you said, that 5 minutes, 15 minutes max you know, sort of per day or per training session, that will have a significant impact on those athletes' performances.
Nick Allen joins us, sports psychologist from Human Integrated Performance. You can check him out, Human Integrated Performance, online. This is fascinating, Nick. Now, you mentioned how athletes who have visualized before a workout, they end up lifting more. Why is that? Is that because the brain has basically told them they're capable of it?
Yeah, so what actually happens is that the long and short of it is that we find that athletes who visualize, they actually recruit a larger percentage of their muscle fibers when they are doing the actual activity. So when we visualize, someone who does not visualize, let's say just for argument's sake, they use 80% of their muscle to lift that heavy weight. And then for the person who visualizes, they might use 85%. But that 5% allows for a heavier lift. We get better responses, and we have faster gains in strength as a result. So it's not like we're building muscle just magically by imagining it. You can't just imagine you're going to turn into Arnold Schwarzenegger, and all of a sudden you like pop by, your muscles pop out by having spinach or something like that. But it's this idea that we actually are recruiting more muscle fibers that allow us to lift a heavier weight, and that gives us the faster gains.
Now, what about motivation in the off season? Because I think, well, for pros, you know, that's your job, right? But yeah, I talk to a lot of them. There's days where it's just like people, oh yeah, you get paid lots of money to work out. Yeah, well, trust me. After a while, it doesn't matter. It's not like you know, and in theory, technically, you're not getting paid in the off season. But the point is, what are things to keep motivation high when you get into the doldrums of training where it's kind of like, ugh, same thing. Yeah. Oh, great. Now it's another Bulgarian split day. Like, shoot me. So what are motivation things that you found that work for people when they get in that rut? Cause I think for a lot of average people, motivation becomes a big challenge. Someone's like, okay, you know what? I want to lose 5 pounds for my summer bod, right? Or whatever, something simple like that. But then after like 5 days, all of a sudden their motivation's like, ugh, I'm not doing it. So what are ways to keep us motivated positively so we continue to push on it and get closer to our goal?
Yeah, there's a couple of things that you can do for an athlete where they're having, you know, putting in all the energy and all that time into training and the pain and the soreness, you know, and the recovery from those hard workouts, making sure they actually build in relaxation time is an amazing buffer that it will do for motivation. I think one of the biggest things that people make a mistake is I always like to use the analogy of that your battery gets too drained, it's going to take longer and longer to sort of charge it back up. But if we sort of recharge it on a regular basis, it always stays nice and full. And so people need to be incorporating relaxation days into their off season. So when you have down days, you're doing things that are, and it doesn't have to be like rest. It doesn't be sleep necessarily. It doesn't have to be like rest and recovery. It can be just going for a basketball game with your friends, your buddies. It can still be active, but we're allowing not just our body to recover, but we're allowing our brain to have a bit of a break from that training as well. So that's one big part of it, is making sure that we have a mental break from the commitments that we have going on. That's why, what does everybody do on the weekend? They relax, they have a good time because they're recharging their brain from the work week. But if we can find ways to do that during the week, and so that's for the listeners that aren't necessarily athletes, having ways built in that allow you to unplug and disengage from all the stressors that you have going on with work and commitments that are going on work, that's what's going to allow you to keep going on. So that's one of the big things. Having a goal setting plan and that you're really excited, and not just a goal setting plan because, you know, somebody in a chair like me told you to sit down and write down your goals. What are you actually excited and what do you want to achieve? Is it going to, you know, the NHL and winning a Stanley Cup? Well, then you're visualizing that on a regular basis. You're imagining hoisting that cup above your head. You're imagining why you're putting all that effort in so you can have that success. Not that I have to get 100 pounds on the bench press or 100 pounds on this exercise. It doesn't really matter about that. It's what's your end game? And imagining that and having a plan that you know that everything you're doing is building towards that. So that you're building that and you're feeding that passion and that excitement. Because even the most motivated person, right, yeah, if we don't have that passion and excitement, we're going to lose it. And the other big part is making sure you have support systems. And I'm not necessarily talking about like people that are going to be your support systems. Those are important as well. But systems are going to help you so you know, I'm really tired, I'm really fatigued. Okay, well, I have instead of having to say, oh, now it's time to go and do my relaxation, you have someone or something in place that ensures that that's happening on a regular basis. You book a massage on a regular basis. You have friends that you meet with, and you have a plan for the entire season. You know, oh, you know what? Towards the end of training, I'm going to be really tired, really, really, exhausted. I'm not going to be really motivated. That's when I'm going to plan to go for a weekend away with buddies camping or something like that, where you have systems in place to ensure that you are going to be more likely to be successful. You know, you're going to have one of those systems could be something, it might be someone that's going to support you and call you to get you up at 5 a.m. to go for that run. Or maybe it's someone that's going to say, hey, you're going to sit down and talk with them about their dreams about going to, the Stanley Cup Finals. So maybe it's your training team. You guys are just sort of sitting down and chatting after a workout and what you're so excited about. Or maybe it's just someone that, is going to be not talk about hockey or not talk about sports, and they're just going to be completely separate so you don't have to worry about any of those things. But having those things in place and organized and set and ready to go, that's the way. You know, if we try and be reactive to a loss of motivation, we're far less likely to be successful. We need to be proactive. Just like anything else, the more proactive we're going to be, the more successful we're going to have with that. So instead of trying to say, oh, I've lost my motivation, I need to get it back. No, let's put things in place so we never lose motivation in the first place.
I love it. Nick, great stuff. People who want more information, you can go to yeghip.com. yeghip.com on your motivation and, more importantly, mental training for the young athletes there. Even for yourself, positive visualization for work and your training, mowing the lawn, whatever it is. Great stuff, Nick. Always good to catch up with you, man.
Fantastic. Really appreciate it. And have a great stay dry.